Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily Podcast from the World Cup. We are once again live in St. Petersburg. I hope you heard the show. If you didn't, these are the best bits.
Yes, now we started with a look at the last night, of course we did, and how we viewed the game from the pub in St. Petersburg. So you'll hear our package, you'll hear about this bloke who basically was worse for wear. He drank about 10 shorts, but you'll hear about him.
Yeah.
Then you'll hear that our producer has fallen in love with the Russian car, the Lada. You'll hear about that. Of course, we had a chat and about what we've been up to.
Got some good guests.
Very good guests. Ahmed Youssef was very interesting on Egypt and Egyptian football.
He was.
Really spoke well about it. That's, and especially they're playing today, so you'll have a good thing to listen to. Then we caught up with Steve Freeth again. He's loving that idea, isn't he? Freeth TV.
We're trying to get some TV formats for him. So, and all this stuff. You're going to hear all
of
this.
And don't forget Tinsel.
Oh, Tinsel's in, yeah.
You cannot miss Tinsel's tips.
So that's all to come. So, 4 minutes past ten. Good afternoon, everyone. Or good morning, everyone. Good morning, Andy. I still can't get out of the habit. It's a whole lifetime. It's the morning.
It's afternoon here in St. Petersburg, but good morning to you. And I'm still smelling that strange sewer smell everywhere. I'm thinking of bottling it, calling it canal number 5.
Really, are you? We kind of get pockets. Andy, if you've not been following this, Andy, within 2 seconds, basically, of getting off the train at St. Petersburg, said, nah, not as good as Moscow. I've never heard a city written off quite so quickly. Anyway, we'll come back to this
because, of course,
we were watching England last night, and let's hear how the whole sorry mess unfolded, starting with how we nearly bocked.
Us, not England.
No, us, of course. Yeah. And how we nearly bocked the England team. Right, we have arrived at a small little golden bird under a bridge, which is attached to a bridge, and the idea is to throw coins on top of the plinth where the bird is standing, and if they stay on there, it's good luck.
And I've got the coins here. I've got English coins.
Oh, well done. Blimey, you've got quite a lot there, Andy.
There's four of us, so I've got four coins.
So we've got 4 coins here. We're all going to have a go each, working on the basis that if we can land it on the plinth where the little bird is standing,
England are going to win the World
England, Cup. Well, England are certainly going to beat Tunisia tonight. So,
okay.
Here we go. Andy's going to go first.
I'll go first.
You've used it as a kind of, yeah. So I go next. Okay. This is not good news for Harry Kane. Here's the other coins. Okay. All right, here we go. Well, Andy's going to have one more go. Do you want to get a bit closer?
No.
But that's not a good sign. The last one Andy threw didn't even hit the plinth.
Oh. That was a complete and utter waste of £3.80.
Yeah. So there we are. So the signs are not good at this stage. So basically it's down to Harry and the boys now. We can't help you. Welcome to the Old City Pub in St. Petersburg, just over the road from our hotel. They do some nice beers, so we've chosen to watch the game in here. We've got big screens all around us. We've got a bloke who has just done a Russian thing, we were told by the bar staff. He sunk 10 shorts. He was in here last night. I think he's a regular. Yeah. But he just knocked back 10 shorts to a round of applause and a high five from the barman.
Yeah, he just said something to me, actually. He went, man it.
Yeah. I think he's of the Brazil clan. But he's still sitting at the bar. We think he might topple off later.
Anyway, we're all very excited. We're underway. Well, that was a complete disaster. We got that wrong. We didn't realise England were playing in red, and we thought they nearly conceded. In fact, they nearly scored.
I thought Harry Maguire just played it back into them. Heads up.
Oh. Six inside that penalty area. It's fired in deep, and it's another outstanding save from Hazen, but nothing that they could do about putting the ball anywhere away from Harry Kane. And England lead.
1-0 England. Fantastic. They've really come out the traps at a pace. They look really up for it.
Very exciting. We noticed Harry Kane's got a mosquito bite on his forehead, but he didn't stop him putting that one in.
Johnny on the spot, as I believe they say in football circles. But well done, Harry Kane. He needed a goal early on anyway.
And meanwhile, the bloke who had 10 shots earlier is now having 3 shots in one glass.
And they're all on fire. He's on the flaming Sambucas now.
Well, it's 1-0 still. There have been a few chances missed. Meanwhile, the food's arrived and it's stone cold, which isn't ideal, really. These stone cold dumplings. And the progress report on the bloke who drank 10 shots at the stump. He's now onto his third triple liqueur in one glass. Waitress not happy that John sent his spaghetti back.
Right-footed ball in from the full-back, Braun. And one of the Tunisian players has thrown himself in the locker and has won a penalty.
So we have what appears a very soft penalty. I don't know if the... it looks like VAR hasn't overturned it. That looked like 6 of one, half a dozen of the other, didn't it?
It didn't look like a penalty to me, but I don't think it was a clear and obvious error, so what can you do? The bloke who's drunk 10 shots seemed to be quite pleased that Tunisia got a penalty.
But he cheered our goal as well. He doesn't know what day. He doesn't know who he's supporting. So, you know, he's not a discerning audience either way.
It's often happens when you're so dominant in the first half, come out in the second half. It looked a bit lacking, England. But the referee's like, we've had 2 clear penalties. You're going by that criteria. Referee, I think he's basically cheating. And he's from Colombia. Don't go there for your holidays. Whatever. Meanwhile, Mr. Ten Shots is slumped over the bar with his flies undone. Yeah. It's really much worse for wear.
He could pop out at any time. And he's staggered out of the bar into the street again. He's a friend of the barman, so we guess that's why he's not been kicked out.
Corner to be taken by Trippier. Referees warn the defenders about the holding. The header towards goal. Kane! 2-1 to England. And in stoppage time, they surely have the victory.
Get in there!
Marvellous.
They got exactly what they deserved. I don't even know why they're in the World Cup. They're disgusting.
Thank you, caller. Well, yeah, I think we got the goal we deserved there.
Of course we deserved it. For goodness sake, they only had one shot at goal and a cheating penalty. I hate teams like that. That's what you want to happen.
That was a fine header.
England have won. They've won their opening game in the 2018 World Cup.
I think we've played pretty well. I just think we should have taken our chance in the first half. We would have been out of sight.
Very important momentum builder there. I thought we played very, very well first half. Second half, we got frustrated. We ran out of ideas a bit, but we never gave up, and that's a very, very good sign.
And 2 Kane goals, which is very important as well. He'll have his confidence up.
Very important. And let's face it, Tunisia got what they deserve. These teams do nothing. They deserve nothing. Well done, England.
Well done, England. Yes, there we go.
Yes.
3 well-earned points. And I kind of felt very positive about it. Afterwards, I was kind of reading some of the reaction to the game. And I know that we should have taken our chances. There's still a worry about who's going to score the goals if Harry Kane doesn't. But it was a good performance.
It was a typical performance where you dominate in the first half. Everyone knows we should have been 5 or 6 nil up. They got a lucky penalty. It wasn't a penalty. We could have had 2. If we'd won 5-0, 5-1, everyone would have been ecstatic. Second half, they did run a little bit out of ideas, as often happens, but they stuck at it. And England teams in the past could easily have drawn that game. I think plenty to be encouraged by.
Yeah, and I kind of felt, I wish we'd come out of the traps at the start of the second half. Because you felt it was going to, exactly what I am, you're absolutely right. We were sitting, I think if we give them a really high tempo 10 minutes, we can score a second goal and put this to bed. But they didn't, did they? They came out, maybe they'd been knocked back by the equaliser, or maybe Gareth had said, look, just play your game and the goal will come. But I think the tempo could have been a bit higher start the second half. And VAR, we were talking about this, weren't we? The umpire's call that goes on. So with the first penalty, the VAR officials don't feel it's clear enough for them to overrule the referee. They don't want to undermine the referee. For the 2 kind of assaults on Harry Kane, they're not doing anything about it, are they? They're going with the referee as much as they can. What was the difference in that
and the one that was overall, certainly the first one when he was dragged to the ground, the difference in the South Korea-Sweden game, where they said you might want to have another look at that.
Yeah, no difference. I mean, the trouble is, if you've got umpire's call system, you've got to have a coach's challenge. Because there, Southgate would undoubtedly have thrown a flag and said, well, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
And then they would have had to look at it. But it's flawed. You know, the whole concept of it is flawed. We all know that. And these incidents are going to happen. But look, in the end, it didn't matter, which is the most important thing. It's funny, though, talking about Tunisia. I feel the same about so many of these teams in the World Cup. I know it's great for their fans and the country for them to be here, but from a purely football point of view, I can't stand these teams. I can't stand Sweden. We had to watch them. I hate Sweden. They should be banned from the World Cup for continuously boring people since 1958. What's the point of them? Do you know what I mean? You just sit there. They get so excited. Oh, they won with a penalty. Great. You know they're going out in the second round. They might as well go home now. That's the way I feel about it anyway.
But if every team went toe-to-toe, because there's such a disparity in quality, they'd get absolutely cuffed, wouldn't they, of eights and nines? Maybe probably. I mean, unless we come from that country. I mean, we wouldn't like it if Germany were doing that to us or Argentina.
No, but it's the equivalent. It's the flaw in football. It's like we were playing pool after the thing, but it's the same. You can imagine in snooker, if one bloke only plays safeties and the other's like Hurricane Higgins or Ronnie trying to, you know, and they kept playing safe, you'd go mad. Yeah. And that's what's wrong with football, that you get these teams who can do this. Yes, they're disciplined, they're fit, they're well-drilled. Great for them, but it's so boring to watch.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're heading down to the England base at Rapino, about 45 minutes from here, to have a chat with one of the England players, and you're going to play a bit of dart.
You say 45 minutes, it's going to take 45 minutes to get out of St. Petersburg.
Yeah, yeah, the traffic in we've only been to two cities, but the traffic is chaotic in both of them. Really,
that's true, yeah. So. John's a big admirer, though, our producer, of the larder.
The larder car.
He
really
loves the larder. He keeps he loves the idea of a box on wheels. It's tremendous. He enjoys the design.
We've seen some.
We're going to buy him one. Do you know about this?
Are we?
Yeah, we are. We're going. Me and the producer, we're clubbed together. We're going to buy him one, and he's promised to drive home. He's already Google mapped it. It's 31 hours apparently.
Really?
Oh yeah.
So that means we've got to buy him quite a good one then. There was quite a funky sort of 4x4 we saw today. I mean, you want one of the, yeah, you know. Yeah, he wants one that's about 12 years old, 50 years old, covered
exactly
in rust or something. But anyway, we'll go looking for him, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, you heard from Fletch there, it's day one of Royal Ascot. And
nice.
Normally, Hawksby and Jacobs tradition is we speak to the top hat maker in,
yeah, top hat. It's become Harry. There you have.
Yeah, top hat maker. Yeah. Well, he doesn't even make them, really. Well, he sort of does make them.
He sells them. It's a big difference.
Martin Ellis Jones. He'll be sitting in his shop saying, "Hey, I wonder when Hawksby and Jacobs are going to call. I'm sure they'll be calling me any moment."
Sorry,
now,
Martin, we're busy.
We're busy. So we tried to find a Russian milliner, and John did find one. But I don't think she'll know anything about top hats.
Couldn't even find James Milliner. He's not here, is he? Unfortunately.
We had a bit of fun in the cab coming over here, didn't we, with our Ivan, our fixer here,
yeah,
who was playing some lovely jazz. And it's very quite strange, isn't it, in the morning?
Well, we've noticed quite a lot of this. The jazz is big here, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got to get in a cab and they're playing a little bit of Thelonious Monk.
That's right. So we're starting our own station over here, Talk Jazz.
Talk Jazz.
We've got it all worked out. And we've got phone-ins. We've got, hello, Adrian. I thought Wynton Marsalis was awful today.
Yeah, just didn't do it for me, I'm afraid. Not the best. Then you get Mike Parry had come on and say, okay, Talk Jazz. It's a saxophone. Blow into the big bell bit at the other end, not into the mouthpiece. And he'd have some crackpot theories, wouldn't he? Yeah, I think it'd be a good station talk,
Jeff. Seems to work out quite well myself.
All right.
And then what else did we do yesterday? Oh, we went to see an art installation. That was quite interesting, yeah.
Well, we don't quite know what it was. It was in an alleyway, and effectively a council estate, wasn't
it?
Yeah, and
the
somebody
back of the flats.
Somebody had gone there and set up this very sort of odd, funky, very modern sort of art.
Quite
thing.
Liked it. Old cars, a mixture of old cars.
Old cars and stuffed toys.
Stuffed toys.
We'll send some pictures out to TSH
and
J. Highly
coloured walls. Our TalkSport art correspondent, John Cadogan, felt that the artist had a slight breakdown.
Yeah.
But I thought, personally, I quite
liked
it. A bit
angsty. But anyway, we'll send out some pictures. It was very odd.
And our executive producer of football, looking at the whole World Cup through these...
Through the prism of Watford FC, that's right.
Basically, there was no Watford connection yesterday in the first and second game, although Cabaselli, I believe, was in Belgium's original 30.
It's great, isn't it?
It's marvellous.
Now,
isn't it?
Talking of Belgium, we popped in and watched a bit of Belgium, and first half, they were very poor, weren't they, by their standards? And we were just having this argument off air. Well, argument. I mean, it didn't come to... I say argument.
Well,
it didn't come to blows. Had to produce that
John's
to separate
got a black
us.
Eye.
We care that much about football. We had an argument over whether Panama were better than Tunisia. I maintain they got behind Belgium a couple of times, yeah. And they looked slightly better. They did cave, obviously, well, a bit as soon more as Belgium ambition. Scored. Yeah, they
Tunisia,
did.
No ambition at all. And, yeah, no, they might pose a bit more of a threat. It was strange, that place, though. We were standing looking for somewhere to watch the Belgian game. This woman beckoned us in. So we thought, oh, okay. They had one 32-inch screen for the whole thing.
Not even HD. No. I mean, that does take some doing.
And a football in a vase. I thought, that's not really trying, is it, really?
Is that cathode ray? She was banging the back, banging the back of the telly, wasn't
but
she?
But it, yeah. It did fill up, and it was very reasonable. I mean, everything here, yeah. You know, food is reasonable, drink is not
too bad.
Well,
I mean, look, it's possible that there are people, there's still tickets available for games. We've seen quite a few spaces, and there might be people thinking, you know what, I've been listening to TalkSport and the people that are out there.
Right, put off.
And then, no, but hopefully they've not been, because, yeah. You know, all the scare stories really have not so far come to fruition. So there might be people out there all thinking they're coming out now.
Yeah,
a friend of yours is going to come out.
That's right.
To get
Exactly.
Out.
And we did try those dumplings last night that Kate Partridge had recommended.
Yeah. Now, they've got different names all around. Some of our...
Lumpy, I call them.
Yeah. They're called pelmeni over here. Pierogi, I think
they
call
them. Doesn't he play for Arsenal?
I think he does, yeah, the Egyptian boy.
Yeah.
I think they're called pierogi. One or two of the listeners have told us a little bit about that. They're kind of... quite dense. I think the word is dense.
Dense.
It's like if Sky made a TV show about me, it'd be called When Nocky Goes Bad. It's like... Kate Partridge, who works there for Russia Today, she said it's like eating a life jacket. And once you've eaten it, it actually opens up inside you.
I'm a fan of the dumplings, so I ordered them, but in the pub last night, but they were stone cold. You didn't seem to... I get quite worried if I eat food and it's not actually cooked. But you woofed them down like Pringles.
It just sat...
You love them.
I don't quite know about that. But they did come back to me during the night. They also tells us they do...
That's not a good thing.
They do a cherry version of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I did ask what the Russian word for Rennie's was, and she said vodka. So that probably just makes
you
it
heard that
sense.
John had sent his spaghetti bolognese back in that piece.
Well, I imagine that made all the news outlets. Right. You heard. No one heard. Who heard?
We mentioned it in the package.
Oh,
at
okay.
The top.
I'm sorry. Fair enough.
It's not on Twitter or anything.
Reuters had reported it.
They have. Yeah. He said it was the worst he'd ever had.
You two really are two peas in a pod. Johnny's basically mini you. He's going to be like you in about. And as I said, you're a bad influence.
I think he's my natural successor. I've said this to management. Don't bother with high-priced replacement for me when I retire.
Yeah.
He's the boy. He's perfect for you.
You're grooming him for stardom, aren't you?
I am. I really feel he's the man. And we had a game of pool after the match. We were in a good mood, weren't we?
We were rubbish, though, weren't we? All of us. I was quite tempted to film it and send it to Andy Goldstein, who was doing the sports
oh, dear.
Bar. He would have had a field day with our terrible technique.
I was thinking of Andy as well.
Somehow I won through.
You won the final.
Against our head of football.
I'm like Bill Werbenick. I eat 15 pints before I can play. So that's steady my hand a bit.
Yeah, of course.
But, this place is also the home of the plastic collagen lip inflation.
Oh, yeah, we've noticed a few corkers, haven't we?
We've seen some terrible trout pouts here, really.
Yeah. There was one woman on the metro, and she'd gone in with a picture of Sting's mate. Because and said, "That's I want that one." It was
incredible,
a bit of a shocker,
because
wasn't it? Yeah.
Basically her face was completely unbalanced by this very, very large top upper lip. And sometimes when people have that done, you're just staring at them, just thinking, what makes you think that? You're probably quite pretty before you went in there. What makes you think that's going to improve you? Hello, make me look ridiculous, please. I don't know. I don't get it.
Do you know you're playing darts against? The news has just come in from the England.
Who is it?
Now, they were going for a... Remember we talked about the FA asked us... They wanted to get someone of a similar height to play you.
Okay.
So, have a couple of guesses.
You said Danny Rose or Kieran Trippier.
No, none of them, yeah.
Okay, it's going to be somebody massively tall, isn't it? Is it Harry Kane?
It's Eric Dyer.
Eric Dyer?
Who is a touch taller than you? I wouldn't play you at centre-half.
No.
At your height.
It's a shame I don't speak Portuguese, but I bet Eric speaks Spanish. We can have the whole
game
have a little in Spanish.
You're going to do that?
I'm looking forward to that. That should be good.
We're confidently predicting that
Eric will win.
He'll be interested in the art installation, we sure. We'll have to show him the picture. Because we discovered, didn't we, he's a bit of a Renaissance man in the old Sunday papers. I think. There he is at the Mark Rothko exhibition.
I looked out the window there. I thought there was a Mark Rothko exhibition.
No, there wasn't. So anyway, Eric Dyer will join us. A little bit later on, and we'll have a chat with him
And I know Nigel Botherway is always listening to this show. He loves this show. And we spotted some fishing stuff.
A bloke fishing yesterday.
An angler by the side of the River Niver. Did you know it's called the River Niver?
Is it called the River Niver?
It's called the River Niver, which has really surprised me.
Did you think he bought his rod on the River Niver?
And also the fact that the Chiswick Pizzic was on the River Niver really is confusing.
Yeah, now this small bird.
We didn't
mention that. The small bird on the plinth is called the Chiswick Pizzic.
I know, on the River Niver. That's very confusing for me.
That's Danny Kay.
We spotted a tackle shop as well.
Yeah.
So, Nigel, you know, I'm sure you know that.
Come fishing
shop.
In Russia.
Yeah. I don't know if they've got rod licenses here, but, you know, who knows.
Back to the football.
Oh, yeah.
Very short. We've got three games. Oh, yeah, that's right. There are some games.
I'm going for the World.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A cup of fishing.
It's been Jacobs live from St. Petersburg here on Talk Sport, and it's time to take a look ahead to one of today's big games with our good friends at Virgin Media, and we're going to focus now on Russia versus Egypt. Second games for both of those sides. Egypt need a result, and all the reports suggest that Mo Salah will be risked, because otherwise, if they don't win today, effectively, they're probably out of the competition. Ahmed Youssef joins us. He's the editor of kingfoot.com. He's an expert on Egyptian football. Ahmed, good to see you.
Hi, great to be here.
What a great title. Before we move on.
Yeah, I mean, Kingfoot.
Like King Tut.
Yeah,
King
exactly.
Very clever.
So, yeah, named after King Tutankhamun.
You're originally from Egypt, but you live in London these days.
Yes, yeah, so I was born in Egypt, but I've grown up in the last 20 years and living in London, yeah.
Right. So you've kept true to your roots. You've become an expert and passionate about Egyptian football.
Exactly. I mean, it all started off with Mido and Hassan Ghali back in the day playing for Spurs.
Yeah.
And that was what got me really into in football. And I followed Egyptian players, especially the ones who play outside of Egypt. So that's where my speciality is. And so, yeah, followed throughout. You know, you had Mido, Zaki, if you remember him at Wigan.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next big one was El Mohammedi. And then, of course, Mo Salah now is the main one.
Biggest probably since Mido, because Mido was a huge star. I mean, I remember his wedding was sort of televised live on Egyptian TV, like a royal wedding.
Yeah, he is one of the most popular characters in Egypt, on and off the pitch. He's got a lot of charisma about him.
Isn't he the Gary Lineker?
Exactly, that's about to say. He's the Gary Lineker, always on TV. And he tried managing. He won one trophy with Zamalek in his first season, the League Cup, and things didn't go out too well for him management, so he's kind of stuck to TV.
What did you make of the performance in the first game against Uruguay? We've seen quite a few games like that, late winners for teams. I mean, what did you make of the way they played?
Yeah, so there was a sense of disappointment, but I don't think people were that upset. We went into this game expecting Egypt to be beaten by a couple more goals than that, and our performance for 89 minutes was really good, and usually we see ourselves sitting back a lot deeper for the entire game. And what we saw against Uruguay was actually we started to play a bit of football. And we, especially down the middle, we were passing the ball. And in the first 20 minutes of the game and in the last 10 minutes, we actually really did pose a threat. But there was one main issue, which was in the final third, we just weren't creative enough, and that was what kind of we've had an issue that you know under Hector Cooper for a number of years now, yeah. And it's still there.
Well, even with Mo Salah,
even with Mo Salah, we struggled to score goals. I mean, he was the only one who helps us in the qualifying for the Africa for the World Cup. We scored only 9 goals, and 7 of them were involved with him. So he scored 5 and assisted the other 2. So without him, Egypt really wouldn't be in the World Cup.
I mean, Hector Cooper isn't dressing it up. I mean, when they asked him, you know, he said, look, we've got a great collective spirit, but let's not pretend that he isn't the star player and effectively the most important player we have.
Exactly. He came out yesterday and saying that there is a big reliance on him and how important he is. And we saw if we did have him against Uruguay, it could have been a different story because he could have given us that extra threat we needed up top.
Are you concerned, though, that when we've seen Ronaldo step up to the plate wonderfully well, but we saw Neymar struggling with the pressure of carrying the nation. We saw Messi having the same problem. And I said to you, Mo Salah does carry the hopes of the nation on his shoulders, stroke shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. And he has had that, you know, that weight on his shoulders for a number of years. Even when he was at Chelsea, there was a lot of pressure with that, with a population of 100 million. Everyone's watching him, everyone's looking at him. And so he has that pressure, but I think he deals with it very well. You see, even for the season last year against Liverpool, he was dealing with pressure so well. Players knew he was going to score, and he had to just step up and deal with that. And I think there's no other better explanation of how well he dealt with it was against Congo in the game that Egypt needed to win to qualify for the World Cup, and Egypt won the penalty in the 90th minute, and he had that pressure, and he's managed to score.
Was he marked out as a potential superstar in Egypt when he was younger, or everybody has been a surprise, maybe as we all have, and the way he has trained on in this last season or two?
So it definitely is a surprise, but he was always known that he was going to be a good player. He left Egypt in 2012 to FC Basel after the revolution, and there was a pause in the seat in the football season, so he had to go. And so he was followed a lot, and people knew that he was good, but it was nothing like this. Even at Chelsea, people were following him, Fiorentina, and even at Roma the season before this one, he was good, but this is something completely that's, you know, surprised everyone.
I tell you what struck us. We were at the football writers' dinner when he was the guest of honour, of course, and he seems such a down-to-earth, decent guy.
He spoke really well, very impressive.
And then exactly true. He's so humble. He doesn't seem like that stereotypical footballer. He has his family that he just goes back to. He doesn't like to speak to the media that much. He wants to just get on with his own life. And that's what makes him so, you know, relatable, how much the charity work that he does, and you hear all in the news. And so that's why everyone likes him, not even from Egypt, everyone all around the world. I was at the Uruguay game, and there were people from China who'd come just to see him, but they didn't even see him because he didn't play. But
we've seen a lot of Egyptian fans around in Moscow and here, so it seems a lot have come over to watch the team play. Quite a lot of them in their Mo Salah wigs.
We saw that the Mo Salah lookalike though in the fans. He's the one who really does look.
He's exactly. been sent over. It was. I mean,
he could play tonight, I reckon. Yeah. And they might psych Russia. It wouldn't matter. Russia would be psyched out.
I'm sure people would have seen that viral video of Mo Salah meeting. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like a twin brother, isn't it?
Exactly.
Crazy.
He's probably going around, you know, milking it all. And
Don't worry about it.
He's been flown over by some sort of commercial entity, I would think.
Yeah. That is the thing. And I've been surprised as well. Especially in St. Petersburg, I thought, you know, you'd worry about all, you know, might maybe some sort of issues. But there's a lot of Egyptian fans, all with their flags and their shirts all around the streets. And I was at the fan fest a couple of days ago, and you know, the Egyptian fans were escorted out because they were there for too long partying into the streets.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah.
When we researched fantasy football those years ago, Paul, we came across the Cairo Derby, and it's one of your particular favourites.
It is. It was a TV series that the guys from Granada made, and one of them was just about the Al Ahly Zamalek Derby, and it was refereed by, I think, a Mexican, because they couldn't trust an Egyptian to do it at the time. This was about 1990. And at the end, I mean, I think he had to send a couple of players off, and there'd been some pretty terrible stuff that had happened over the years in that match on the terraces and on the pitch. And at the end, the army ran on to surround the referee to protect him, to get him off. And he hugged one of the soldiers with relief because he didn't fancy getting down the tunnel in one piece. It is, I mean, it's one of the craziest derbies.
I think it is one of the most fiercest derbies. And it might not be well known around the world, but especially in Africa, they are the two largest clubs in Africa in terms of dominating the African Champions League. And Al Ahly are the, you know, unfortunately, they are the most popular side in Egypt, and they've won the most trophies. And They tend to do win, and but the
you're Zamalek.
Yeah, I am exactly. Yeah. So, but there is a sense of there's a sense of rivalry off the football pitch. You have families who, you know, how are you marrying this person who's from a different from the different team, and it's like, you know, Manchester. It's like the Manchester derby, really.
They have different political allegiances as well, don't they? Historically, I think one was pro Sadat, one was pro Nasser.
Is that what it is, more political than religious?
I think it was more in the sense that Zemalek were created in the 1930s by a Belgian, and it was more the kind of the foreigners that they played in that team, and Ahly were more the nationalists, and that's. But I think that kind of political aspect of it is kind of just left nowadays, and it's more, you know, just pure football, and they have ultras and whatnot.
Sure. Is it a social thing as well? Like richer people would support one club and working class people
would
support...
Like sort of Argentina.
Like, yeah, like Boca River.
I don't think it is. I think it is very split. I mean, in the sense of, you know, the class and stuff, but there are a lot more Al Ahly fans, but, you know, you can get them wherever on either side, really.
Yeah.
Not really much.
So you're just staying on the road with Egypt, are you? Is that the plan? Go as far as they do?
Exactly. And, I mean, hopefully... You know, we could go to the second, to the 16th round, and that would be. I'm staying here and then going off to Volgograd, where England played yesterday. To my surprise,
take the mosquitoes,
spray some repellent.
34 degrees. I didn't expect. I don't have any shorts, so
yeah.
You can borrow our producers. He's perfectly prepared to give them up for you.
Exactly. So they would be. Yeah.
Are you in the stadium tonight?
I am indeed. Yeah. So hopefully going quite early, and there's a great atmosphere around, and you know, there's a lot of Egyptian fans, which will be quite good.
Now, look, we know a lot about the Egyptian players, like Ghazi and Neil Mohammadi. There's players that we know about that play in Europe, but are there any players? I mean, maybe some scouts out there listening. There may be some clubs thinking, oh, you know, nice Egyptian player currently still in Egypt. Is there anybody you think could make that cross to play in the Premier League?
So there's one player, Trezeguet, who was my pick before the tournament as the one to look out for in Egypt, and he plays for Kasımpaşa in Turkey. He's an excellent season. Scored 13 goals, but he hasn't really been up to scratch in the last couple of friendlies and in the game against Uruguay.
Yeah.
But the one player who really did, you know, surprise us all, even in his selection, was Amr Warda. Plays in Greece, and he is a really good player. He plays on the wing, but he can also play up front. In the Africa Cup of Nations last year, he played for us up front. He was excellent in the game, and to be honest, once Ramadan Sopi came on in place of him, Egypt looked like a completely different team. And so, yeah, he's the one to look out for, and he's also had a very good season in Greece.
Fantastic, Ahmed. Enjoy the rest of the World Cup. We wish Egypt well. If it's any consolation, every Russian we speak to, expert tells us they think Russia are going to get beaten tonight. So
they've got no confidence at all in this game. It's really weird.
It is, and I think Egypt are kind of not confident, but we know we must win. That's kind of the mentality we've got today.
Yeah,
all right, lovely to meet you.
Yeah, lovely to meet you. All the very best. Enjoy the rest of the tournament.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We were watching that game, Sweden against... Forgotten who they were playing.
South Korea.
Great, isn't it? Of course, yeah. Well, there's so many games.
How soon forgotten.
No. But the thing is, it wasn't a particularly good game. In fact, it was a terrible game. But you did amuse me after the game because you had this idea of what you might do at your funeral. I thought it was very good.
I've forgotten what it was now.
You said you were going to make people watch all 90
minutes. Oh, yeah. That was it. Yeah, it would be a great... Isn't there a story? It's Peter Sellers' funeral, wasn't it? He hated the song In the Mood. And Spike Milligan telling the story that he got the vicar to say, this was Peter's favourite song, so I'd like you all to stand there and enjoy it now. And all the goons were laughing. No, they must hate you. So it would be a great trick to play on the people, wouldn't it? To say, you know, Paul, he looks back on his favourite game of football ever was Sweden versus South Korea in the 2018 World Cup, and he's asked now that you stay behind and watch the whole game. The whole game, all 92 and a bit minutes of this game. So it's what he would have wanted.
I think he would have done, actually.
Yeah.
And it was good yesterday. Our executive football editor, David
Warbler. Is he an executive?
Well, I made him an executive.
Technically.
I promoted him.
Fair enough.
He'll soon be on the board.
Oh, yeah.
And he keeps monitoring. It's part of his job. He keeps monitoring the output on his phone to make sure everything's happening and everything.
Yeah.
And we were on the metro, and it was great to hear Jim Proudfoot's voice booming out over the the St. Petersburg Metro. Yeah. There has to be a
first. There was a few nods of recognition from people going home from work, wasn't there?
A few Torquay fans.
Yeah, that's
oh,
right.
Yeah, Jim Proudfoot.
Yeah.
So that was a good bit of fun. And, oh yes, my alum, I like to do this when I'm on tour. I enjoy a bit of alum wicker.
Yeah, just one for the kids. Ask your dad.
Ask your dad. Yeah. But I've managed to teach John all about it.
I've told you, he's mini you, isn't he?
He is. He is mini. And the amazing thing is that he's actually doing it himself. He's never actually even heard Alan Wicker, but he really does it quite well. So it's quite good. I really enjoyed it. I had one yesterday. Herman Etage used to be a taxi driver. He came to St. Petersburg to build a palace and is now Russia's richest man. He invited me for tea just to show me his money.
Yeah, you can. That's right.
That's sort of idea.
Hermitage situation.
You
there.
Get the idea. John
here
Moscow.
In St. Petersburg. Yeah.
That sort of thing.
John Moscow, the referee. Why didn't John Moscow manage to get on the list of all the referees at this World Cup?
And I don't know if Moose is... He's not coming on tomorrow, but I've got a new challenge for him for tomorrow because fruit and veg, I think, are in quite short supply here.
Maybe really?
It's because of sanctions. Well, I think it is.
Sanctions? Fruit and veg sanctions?
Well, okay, honestly, fair enough. Have you seen... I've seen no greengrocers anywhere. So I'm challenging Moose to find a greengrocer.
Really?
Yeah.
You've not found him on the...
Buy me a bag of apples in a brown bag.
That would be nice. You're looking for someone... Yeah, Mum, two for a pound. You're looking for someone doing that in Russian.
That sort of idea.
I'd say go to a market. That would make sense. Yeah, anyway, may fancy a flutter on the football today. And if so, of course, you should be listening now to Steve Freeth from Bet365. Steve, good afternoon.
Fellas, good afternoon to you.
So, what did that mean to the bookie, that 2-1 victory, that Harry Kane goal? Were you sort of kicking the cat at that point, Steve? Was it expensive for all of you bookmakers?
It was. I mean, the three favourites won yesterday. And I think the punters, they had been playing catch-up, admittedly. I think it's been a real bookmaker-friendly tournament so far, guys. And so I can't complain too much about that late Harry Kane goal, admittedly. Harry Kane, though, is into a joint second favourite to be the top goal scorer of the tournament. Cristiano Ronaldo, 9-4 favourite, and Kane and Costa, both at 13-2. Kane was available at 16-1 before the game last night to be top scorer.
Good. Now, Steve,
TV formats.
Yeah.
We mentioned yesterday we want to make you a TV star. We're trying to come up with titles for shows that we think we can get made with our few contacts we have in the world of TV. So I've got your...
You are well connected, though. I know that, Paul. You're well,
we are.
Well connected.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely.
I've got your potholing show, which is called Dirty Lowdown Freeth. And do you pothole, Steve? Are you prepared to do that?
If the money's right, I will do it. Don't worry about that.
I've pitched no such thing as a Freeth lunch.
Okay,
that's where Steve cooks a banquet rather than just makes a sort of small repast.
Oh, that's nice. That sounds good. Stop Freeth, of course. I think that's a kind of that'd be a bit like sort of Challenge Annika or something, or you'd Hunted or whatever. One of those sorts.
Well,
of shows.
Would you believe I've been actually stopped in the street a few times since yesterday's show, and people actually talking about it and giving me a few ideas. Me personally, I forgot to mention yesterday because it was the World Cup. Mm. I thought we could maybe go back to a show back in 1978 with Willie Johnson, maybe, of course, who was famously sent home.
Yes.
So I wonder
who did he play for, by the way?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, West Brom, of course. And the fact that Paolo Guerrero is allowed to play in the World Cup as well, I'm sure there's a innuendo gag there about Willie being able to play at the World Cup in 1978 with my surname. So I'm sure we'll be able to go there.
Oh, we've got another nice one for you from Mike Yardley.
Freeth Willie.
Yeah, Freeth. Yeah, of course.
That's Steve, you have to do the punchline, mate, if you're going to do the joke.
He's crediting the audience with a bit of sense. Mike Yardley gives us the best things in life are Freeth. Steve travels around Europe sampling the best free activities in various countries. Like a little,
Well, I do have a bit of a nickname in the office as Freeth Loader because of some free tickets that I seem to be able to get my hands on. Oh, so maybe that could be a little sideshow as well. Remember back in the 80s? Duty Freeth, maybe.
What would that be? That's like you joining up.
It's your conscription.
Yeah, that's right. 2 years in the army and we follow you. That's not a bad idea. And I'm not sure this is... Richard Battersby has just given us Two's Company, Threef's a Crowd.
The Crowd.
So,
yeah.
What would that be? I mean, it's a good title, but
Freeth.
I mean, how can you be a one-man crowd?
Two people are having a quiet tete-a-tete, and Steve turns up with the whole of the West Bromwich sort of end with him.
Well, you think so?
Well, it's got to bring it back to West Brom somehow.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, I will work on that one.
Quite but, you know, work, really.
Couples. It could be like couples guidance, isn't it? Two's company, and you go in and actually make it 10 times worse. Well, these are all good ideas, Steve.
And, keep them coming. I think we'll have a good show by the end of the World Cup, hopefully.
Brilliant. We'll definitely get one that. Away. We'll definitely get one away. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks very much, Steve.
Cheers, boys. Brilliant as always. Thank you.
Steve Freeth there from Bet365 of all the latest odds. Before we cross to the Moose, we will be hearing from Tinsel the Turkey. He is our predictive animal. He doesn't just look at two bowls of food and choose one, says that's going to win. He actually knows about football. He covers the ground. He does the research. He joins us now. Hi, Tinsel.
Yeah, because, you know, he's one of the technical observers here.
He is,
FIFA,
yeah. He's been,
you know.
Yeah, Andy Roxburgh's been using that's him quite right, a lot. Yeah. So anyway, Tinsel, you got that wrong last night. You said 3-0 England. So what did you make of the game generally? Yeah, I mean, he couldn't legislate for Jesse Lingard's finishing. You can't argue with that. No. Let's look at Senegal-Poland today. I know you've had a look at Senegal. How do you see them setting up? Well, yeah, they do like a 4-5-1, but, I mean, that's probably how they're going to play.
It's going to be a bit negative, though,
just one up front. They have tried 5-4-1, actually, in the past, Tinsel. Yeah. That's right, isn't it? Fair enough.
Yeah, he said it didn't really work.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens. And the Poles, what do you make of them? Yeah, it is all about Lewandowski. You can't really argue with that. So, give us a scoreline, then, for this one. Hard-fought 1-1.
Really? Oh, okay.
Okay. Thank you, Tinsel. Enjoy the rest of
the games. I'm placing money on Tinsel's tips. It's quite a good thing.
Yeah, good.
Obviously, I'm a bit out of pocket from last night.
You but, probably you know. Are. So there we are. That was this morning's show. We're now off to play darts with Eric Dye and have a chat with him after England's fine victory last night. And we will play that to you tomorrow.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, that's right. Enjoy the World Cup.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.